Okay. Have you ever felt like, difficult conversations? Are they kind of like walking a tightrope over a pit of awkwardness?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But what if there was a way to approach those conversations, those tough ones, but with more confidence and any understanding?
Right.
Well, get ready because we are going on a deep dive into something called conversational storytelling inquiry, or CSI for short.
That's
I know, right? We'll be exploring excerpts from the introduction to a book called CSI for Difficult Conversations by David Michael Boget and Grace Anne Rusile.
What's fascinating about the CSI approach is that it combines two things that seem very different: structured assertiveness training with insights from the world of horses.
Horses.
Ugh.
Okay, you're gonna have to explain that one.
I will.
Okay. But first, what exactly is conversational storytelling inquiry?
Well, it's about changing how you look at a conversation. Instead of trying to win an argument, it's about understanding the other person.
So it's less about arguing and more about like a collaborative exploration.
Exactly.
Okay.
So imagine you're dealing with a conflict at work. Instead of immediately jumping into defense mode, CSI would suggest that you acknowledge the other person's point of view first.
Okay.
Something like, I understand that you're feeling frustrated because, and then you can share your side of the story too.
So it's like creating a more balanced dialogue,
Yeah,
right?
it's like you're weaving together different threads to make a tapestry.
Okay, I can picture that.
And this leads us to one of the coolest ideas from CSI, I think. Braided rivers.
Braided rivers.
Yeah. So imagine that each person's perspective in a conversation is like a separate river.
Okay, I'm picturing it.
Each river has its own unique flow and current, right?
Right.
And as the conversation continues, these different rivers of perspective begin to like intertwine. And eventually they merge into something bigger and more powerful than any single river could be on its own.
So it's not always about compromise. It's about creating something even better than what you had originally by bringing those perspectives together.
Yeah, exactly.
I love that. But how can we make sure that we're actually doing it right? Because it's easy to forget about braided rivers in the heat of the moment, right?
And that's where the four tests come in.
Okay.
The four tests are like checkpoints that we can use to make sure our conversations are leading to better understanding.
So what's the first test?
Self-reflexivity,
Self-reflexivity.
which is about taking a moment to think about your own thoughts and biases
Yeah.
before, during, and after a tough conversation.
Oh, so what are you bringing to the table?
Yeah.
Okay, I can see how that would be really helpful, but I gotta know, how do horses fit into all of this? You mentioned horse sense at work.
Yeah, that's where Grace Anne Rusile's expertise comes in. She makes these fascinating comparisons between how horses communicate and how humans interact. So horses are incredibly sensitive to nonverbal cues, like posture, energy, even subtle shifts in breathing.
It's like horses are giving us a master class in nonverbal communication.
That's a good way to put it.
Right.
Yeah. And understanding those nonverbal dynamics can really help us understand the unspoken language in our own human interactions. For example, horses are masters of setting boundaries.
Wait, hold on. Horses setting boundaries. Can you give me an example?
Yeah, imagine like two horses in a field.
Okay.
And if one horse gets too close for comfort, the other one might shift its weight or like turn its head or even give a gentle nudge like, hey, back up a bit.
Oh, okay.
It's a very subtle but clear way of communicating that they need some space.
And how can we apply this to our human conversations?
Well, imagine someone's being disrespectful
Right.
or like overly aggressive in a conversation. Instead of getting defensive or shutting down, we can use clear and assertive language to set our own boundaries. Just like that horse's nudge, Like you might say, I understand you're feeling strongly about this, but I need you to speak to me with respect.
So horse sense is giving us permission to stand our ground.
Exactly. It's about being aware of our own needs and limits and then communicating those effectively.
Okay. I'm starting to see how horse sense could really add a new layer to these difficult conversations. But I'm also interested in the more structured side of CSI. You mentioned an assertiveness framework.
Right. That's David Boggi's contribution. He developed the ABCDAF assertiveness framework, which gives us a set of tools to communicate more clearly in challenging situations. And it's not about being aggressive, it's about escalating assertiveness strategically only when necessary.
So like a ladder of assertiveness. You start at the bottom and only climb higher if you have to.
Exactly. Think of it as having different communication tools at your disposal. You wouldn't use a sledgehammer to hang a picture, right?
Yeah.
Similarly, you wouldn't jump to the most assertive approach right away in a conversation. You start by simply stating the facts, like, I noticed the report wasn't submitted on time. This gives the other person a chance to acknowledge the issue without feeling attacked.
So we start with a gentle nudge, just like those horses.
Exactly.
Okay, and we escalate if we need to.
Right.
Okay, tell me more.
Okay, so let's say you're dealing with a colleague who keeps interrupting you in meetings.
Ugh, I hate that.
Instead of just letting it slide or getting into a big argument, you could use the ABCDEF framework to address it. Assertively, I mean.
Okay, listening.
All right. The first step, it's called anti-story.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all about setting a positive tone. You know, remind both of you about, like, the shared goals of the relationship.
Oh, okay.
So you might start by saying, hey, I really appreciate your ideas in these meetings.
Right.
And I know we both want them to be productive.
So setting the stage for a good conversation.
Exactly. Then, if they keep interrupting you, you move to step behaviors.
Behaviors. Okay.
Here, you just describe what they're doing. You know, no judgment or anything, just the facts. You might say, you know, I've noticed that you've interrupted me a couple of times in this meeting.
Oh, so instead of saying you're always interrupting me, just right. Like a neutral observation.
Exactly. And that often helps them become aware of what they're doing without making them feel defensive.
Right.
But if the interruptions keep happening, then you go to consequences.
Consequences.
Yeah. And here you would explain how their behavior is impacting things. You might say, when you interrupt me, it makes it hard for me to, you know, fully explain my ideas.
Okay.
It breaks my train of thought.
Yeah, it's like, hey, this is how what you're doing affects everyone.
Exactly. Oh. Again, you're doing it in a calm, factual way.
Right.
No emotions, no blame.
Right.
Hopefully that's all they'll need.
Yeah.
But if not, you can use the rest of the framework to escalate things. Assertively, of course.
This is a really helpful framework. It's like you have a roadmap for tough conversations. But it's not just what people say, right? It's how they say it.
You got it. And that's where horse sense comes in.
Okay.
Remember, horses are masters of nonverbal communication. They're always sending signals.
Right.
And they can teach us so much about reading those unspoken cues in human interactions, too.
So it's not just about what they're saying, but their body language and tone of voice.
Exactly. For example, you're talking to someone and their arms are crossed.
Uh-oh.
Their jaw is clenched. They won't make eye contact.
Right.
Even if they say, I'm fine, their body's screaming, I'm not fine.
Oh, so it's like they're sending mixed signals. And we should pay more attention to the nonverbal ones.
Yeah, exactly. By learning to see those subtle cues, we can better understand what's really going on in the conversation.
Okay, so horse sense makes us better detectives of emotions. But how do we actually use this in a real conversation? It seems kind of hard to, like, notice every little twitch and gesture.
It doesn't have to be overwhelming. Start by noticing your own nonverbal cues.
Oh, okay.
Like, are you sitting in an open and receptive way? Are you making eye contact? Are you speaking in a calm tone?
So be mindful of the signals I'm sending out, even if I'm not doing it on purpose.
Exactly. And then, you know, start to pay attention to the other person's body language. Are they leaning in? Or pulling back? Are they making eye contact? Are their facial expressions matching up with their words?
So basically, become a student of nonverbal communication.
Yeah. Learn the language of the body.
I like that.
As you get better at reading these cues, you'll find those tough conversations become a little easier. You'll have more empathy, you'll understand better, and you'll just be more effective.
This is really cool. It's like a whole new world is opening up. But I'm also still thinking about those four tests. You know, we talked about self-reflexivity, but what about the other three? How can they help us, you know, have better conversations?
Well, they're all about encouraging us to be more thoughtful, critical, open-minded in how we communicate. So the second test, refuting your own theory.
Refuting your own theory. Okay.
It challenges us to question our own assumptions, to be open to other points of view.
So, like, intentionally try to prove yourself wrong. That takes guts.
It does.
Right.
But it can also be very freeing. When we're willing to challenge our own beliefs, we open ourselves up to new possibilities, to understanding things on a deeper level. Then there's interdisciplinarity.
Interdisciplinarity.
Which encourages us to, you know, look beyond our own areas of expertise and learn from other fields, other disciplines.
Oh, like cross-training for the mind.
Yeah, I like that.
I like that.
Just like Bojé and Rozeal combined assertiveness training with horse sense, we can all benefit from expanding our horizons.
Right.
See what other fields have to offer.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Okay, what's the last test?
Experimentation. Which reminds us that learning is a process. We need to be willing to try things out, see what happens, and then adjust our approach based on the results.
Oh, so it's not about following some rigid formula. It's about being flexible and learning as we go.
Exactly. And that's what makes CSI so powerful.
Yeah.
It's not a one-size-fits-all solution. It's a framework that helps us keep growing.
This has been so insightful. I feel much more ready to handle those tough conversations I used to dread. But, you know, you said something earlier that really piqued my curiosity.
Oh, yeah.
About Boje and Raziel going to New Zealand to learn from Maori leaders.
Ah, yeah.
Can you tell me more about that? What did they learn?
Their trip was a real turning point for their research. They were so inspired by the Maori tradition of storytelling and how it emphasizes reciprocity and respect.
So it's not just about sharing information, but about connecting with each other, really understanding each other.
Right. In Maori culture, sharing your story is seen as something very special, an act of, you know, vulnerability and trust.
I love that. It totally changes how we think about conversation. It's not a battle. It's a chance to connect and learn from each other.
That's beautiful. And it's a great way to approach any conversation, especially the tough ones.
Speaking of which, we've been talking mostly about the workplace, but can we use these principles in our personal lives too?
Absolutely.
Could horse sense help us with, like, family arguments or problems with our partners?
Oh, definitely. In fact, I think it's even more important in our personal relationship.
Oh, how so?
Because the stakes are higher. The emotions are more intense. It's easier to hurt each other's feelings.
Right, right. So how can we use horse sense to, like, deal with a disagreement with our partner, for example?
Well, just like at work, it starts with paying attention to those nonverbal cues. We often pick up on those little signals from our loved ones, right?
Yeah.
But when we're arguing, it's easy to get so caught up in our own feelings that we miss them.
So we need to pay attention to how they're saying things, not just the words themselves.
Exactly. Yeah. Take a moment to really look at your partner. Are they tense? Avoiding eye contact. Speaking in a short, clipped tone. Mm-hmm. Those cues tell you a lot about what they're feeling.
It's like being an emotional detective, trying to figure out what's going on beneath the surface.
Right. And just like horses use those subtle cues to communicate their boundaries, we can use them in our relationships too.
Wait, setting boundaries with our loved ones, doesn't that seem a little, I don't know, formal?
It doesn't have to be formal or confrontational. It's just about recognizing that everyone has needs and limits.
Yeah.
And it's healthy to communicate them.
Okay. So, like, if someone's constantly criticizing you, or being too controlling, you need to set some boundaries.
Exactly. And we can start subtly, just like horses do. If someone's making you uncomfortable, step back.
Mm-hmm.
Change your body language. Or politely steer the conversation in a different direction.
So it's like saying, whoa, slow down, without actually saying it.
Yeah. But if those subtle cues don't work,
yeah,
if the other person isn't respecting your boundaries,
right,
then you need to be more direct. Use clear language to communicate your needs. Like, I know you're concerned, but I need some time to think about this on my own.
Okay.
Or, it makes me uncomfortable when you talk to me that way. Please stop.
So be firm but fair. Respectful but clear.
Exactly. And remember, setting boundaries is about taking care of yourself, not about controlling the other person.
Right. I like that. It's about building healthy relationships. Okay, so we've talked about nonverbal communication and setting boundaries. What other horse sense can we use in our personal lives?
Well, being present and attentive is huge. Just like working with a horse, you have to put aside distractions and really focus on your loved one. Listen to what they're saying. Be mindful of their tone, their body language, their feelings.
Be in the moment. Give them your full attention. No checking your phone or anything.
Exactly. That level of presence builds trust. It shows them they matter, that what they have to say is important.
This horse sense stuff is incredible. It's like a whole new way of looking at relationships. And I'm also thinking about that Maori idea, the gift of story. How can we use that with our loved ones?
That's a great question. Remember, it's about approaching conversations with reciprocity and respect. Understanding that everyone has a story to tell and that listening to their story is how we build trust.
So instead of, like, interrupting them or judging them or trying to fix them,
yeah,
we need to really listen, try to see things from their point of view.
Exactly, and create a safe space for them to share their feelings,
yeah,
without being judged.
It's like saying, I see you, I hear you, or what you're saying is important to me. That's a powerful message.
It really is.
Yeah.
Especially in our closest relationships. When we approach our loved ones with that level of empathy and understanding, we build a foundation for a really deep connection.
This deep dive has been amazing. I feel so inspired to start using these ideas in my own life. But before we wrap up, I have one more question. We've talked about braided rivers and how it can help us understand each other better, but how do we actually use that idea in real time? Because sometimes those difficult conversations, they feel more like a tangled mess than a beautiful tapestry.
That's a great point. It's one thing to understand the concept and another to put it into practice.
Right.
Especially when things get heated.
Exactly. So do you have any like practical tips or strategies for braiding those rivers in the middle of a tough conversation?
I do. Okay. So it's like you have all these tools you can use. One technique is to approach the conversation with like curiosity instead of judgment.
Okay.
So instead of assuming you already know what the other person's thinking,
right,
be curious.
So more tell me more and less here's why you're wrong.
Exactly. Ask open-ended questions to really understand their point of view. Like, help me understand why you feel that way. Or can you tell me more about your experience with this?
Right.
Those kinds of questions can make a big difference.
Yeah. It changes it from a debate into like a shared exploration.
Right. And that leads to another important tool, active listening. We talked about it before, but it's so important for braiding the rivers.
Yeah.
You know, it's not just hearing the words. It's paying attention to their tone, their body language, what they're feeling.
So put the phone away. Don't interrupt. Really focus on what they're saying, which is harder than it sounds.
It is. But the more present and attentive you are, the more the other person will feel heard.
Right.
And understood.
Ah.
And that can really lower the tension, make it easier to talk.
Okay. Active listening check. What else can we do to bring those rivers together?
Here's one that might surprise you. Look for things you agree on.
Okay.
Even small things. Even if you disagree on the big picture, there might be like shared values or a common goal that you can focus on.
So even if it's just a tiny bit of common ground,
yeah,
it's a place to start building from.
Exactly. It helps you work together. It reminds both of you that you're not on opposite sides. You're trying to reach a shared understanding.
Right.
Right. And speaking of working together, is there anything we can do to make the emotional atmosphere better during these conversations?
Yeah.
Because things can get heated.
Oh, definitely. One thing that can really help is acknowledging how the other person is feeling.
Okay.
Even if you don't agree with them. You don't have to say you're right.
Yeah.
But you can say, I see why you're feeling frustrated. Or I understand why this is important to you.
It's like saying, I see you, I hear you, your feelings matter, even if you don't agree.
Exactly. It's validating their emotional experience, even if you see the situation differently. And it can really help calm things down, make the conversation more empathetic and compassionate.
This is great. I'm feeling a lot more confident about having those conversations I used to avoid. But before we go, I have one more question. We've talked a lot about listening to the other person, but what about listening to ourselves?
Mm-hmm.
How important is self-awareness in all of this?
Oh, that's so important. Remember, communication goes both ways. It's not just about understanding the other person. It's about understanding yourself, too. Your body language, your tone, even your own thoughts and feelings, they all affect the conversation.
So it's not just what I say. It's how I am in the conversation.
Exactly. Think about your posture. Are you open and receptive? Or are you closed off? What about your tone of voice? Are you speaking calmly or are you being aggressive?
Right. And what about that inner voice, the one that's always judging? How do we deal with that?
That's where that self-reflexivity test comes in. Before, during, and after the conversation, check in with yourself. What are you assuming? What are you feeling? Are you really listening with an open mind or are you letting your own biases get in the way?
So I need to have a conversation with myself at the same time I'm having a conversation with someone else.
Exactly. The more aware you are of yourself, the better you'll be able to communicate, especially in difficult situations.
Wow, this has been an incredible deep dive. I feel like I have so many new tools now to handle those tricky conversations.
Me too.
Right.
Approach them with curiosity, empathy, and a willingness to learn.
Okay.
The more we practice these principles, the better we'll get at communicating.
So, are you ready to start braiding some rivers of understanding? We've learned about assertiveness and horse sense, the power of the braided rivers metaphor, and those practical four tests. It's all about changing how we see difficult conversations.
Mm.
Instead of a battle, it's a chance to learn and grow together. It's something that can change our workplaces and our relationships with everyone we care about.
Absolutely.
Think about one conversation you've been avoiding. How could these tools help you approach it differently? How could you use them to turn that tangled mess into something beautiful, something that brings you closer together?